Hey, welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corumdale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we invite you to listen in. And we pray that the things we're talking about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. And today we're talking about missional community.
Yes, we want to talk today about what is a missional community. And here's why that conversation matters to us particularly. Number one, what we're talking about today is the structure of missional community. So missional community is a value, meaning Christians should be on mission and Christians should be in community. But we're talking about a particular structure that in our church we call missional community. Some churches call them gospel communities. We want to talk about what is that. And the reason is because every time people join a church, they come in with pre-existing expectations. And what we often find in Corumdale is that our own people even come in with very different expectations of what a missional community is or should be. And so we want to try to give some clarity to that and hopefully also be helpful to other church planters and leaders who are seeking to create missional communities in their church. I should say on the front end that this conversation is specifically going to be an American sort of conversation. And so there's actually people practicing missional community in other parts of the world where they're much more de-churched that I would say they do it much better, but also much differently. And our context is a little bit different. And so we're going to talk about how we practice missional community at Corumdale Church in Omaha, Nebraska, and hopefully be helpful to people who are seeking to plant churches and make disciples in a similar context. So this conversation hopefully is just a wide-ranging conversation about how to structure a church around missional communities and for our people who are listening, how to be involved in, how to be a part of a missional community in a healthy way. So here's how we define or describe a missional community. And again, this is an ideal definition. We're sort of always striving toward this ideal, that a missional community is a missionary family committed to making disciples of Jesus of a particular people or in a particular place. So the idea is there's an identity missionary family that connects these people together. They're united in Christ, and their goal is to make disciples. All right. So I'm going to talk about missional community today as a context for disciple making. In other words, it's a structure we're creating. It's a context that's artificial in some ways. Right. What brings these people together is that they're together in the mission of making disciples. It's not just people who live on the same block or like the same sort of music or would hang out together anyway. It's actually a group of people who might not hang out together anyway. What brings them together is the mission of Jesus and specifically the goal of making disciples. In our church, we borrow from Mark Driscoll at Mars Hill the language of air war and ground war. So air war is sort of the proclamation of the gospel, preaching, worship, gathering, sort of large public ministry. And then the ground war is more the sort of smaller group, one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat, working the gospel into people's actual lives. And so we see missional community as sort of the connecting place of both. It's the place where air war connects to ground war. It's the place where we're taking things we've taught and talked about as a church in a larger context, and we're working them down to the fabric of people's lives. So here's the importance of this conversation and sort of the conversation we want to have today is that I think missional communities can go badly in all kinds of different ways, and we've experienced most of them together, I would say, gentlemen. So we want to talk about that, and I want to sort of set up the conversation this way, that if a missional community is a context for discipleship, if it's a place or a context where discipleship happens, and if we're saying it's a missionary family committed to making disciples, here's where I think it generally goes wrong in two directions. One is when people really want it to be a family, so they want to emphasize the family side of the identity at the expense of the mission. So really, I just want a group of people who are really tight, we're really close, there's deep sharing of life, and it really becomes a group of friends. I think that can go sideways. Or the other direction, where it becomes all about the mission, and people usually define the mission narrowly as like, man, being engaged in this particular neighborhood or serving this particular part of the city. And so it becomes all outward focused, and there's no connection to building a culture of family, being united in the gospel, and actually making disciples of people who are already here. And I've had both of these conversations in the last week, and so that's why it's sort of fresh to me. But I thought it'd be interesting just to sort of give some color of some of the ways that we've seen missional communities go wrong in each of those two directions, or even people's expectations go wrong in each of those two directions. So when people expect a missional community to be a family and really a tight-knit, close group of people, that, of course, is a good biblical expectation. But how does that tend to capsize discipleship?
Yeah, I think one of the things that it can complicate a lot, it's also okay if I become friends with a few of the people in my missional community. But if there's this expectation, especially from a handful of the members, that we are going to be a really tight family, we're going to be best friends, the reality is that's just not possible. You have single people in there. You have professionals who are traveling. You have young families with four little kids. You have a widowed lady in there. And so life on life is not going to happen, probably, to the expectation. But to the more specific question of how does that capsize discipleship, if my goal is to be friends with everybody and to kind of, in a sense, keep harmony, then discipleship is going to get sticky and tough because I can't push you and you can't push me because really we just want to be friends.
Mm-hmm. So I think we would all agree, you know, the purest, right, if you look at the Bible and Jesus' missional community of the disciples, right, the beautiful thing is they spend every day together. They're living together, working together, eating together. Yep. And so in some contexts where you can create that, that's the most beautiful picture of missional community.
Yep.
The challenge is in the American context with the reality of people's lives, that's not always possible to create. And so in a sense, we're longing for the best approximation we can get, which is some measure of life on life, but like other friend groups and other family members in town and other priorities and other things. And so it's unrealistic, you're saying, Dusty, to expect that a missional community is ever going to gel in the sense that we're all best friends doing life alongside one another in the name of Jesus.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So there's another way that I've seen it go wrong, and that's actually people who are driven by that ideal. And it sort of leans hard in the mission direction, which tends to be neighborhood or city focused. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, let's go reach these people. Let's serve these people. Let's be about city renewal. And the focus is always on the people outside. And what tends to happen there is you again fail to make disciples. You might be involved in things and you might have a great social media presence and you might post cool Instagram photos of your neighborhood barbecue, but you're not making disciples of the people who are actually on mission with you. And have we seen that happen in particular contexts? Or how does that actually begin to compromise discipleship, even though sometimes it feels fun and exciting?
You're gonna want to be out there. And so some of the people in your missional community are going to want to be out there. But there's going to be a handful of people in your missional community that are just rallied around whatever it is you want to do, you being the three or four people that are really adamant about whatever that is, you know, fill in the blank on certain project. And I think the problem is we lose focus really quick because we want to be good humanitarians, but the church's focus, and the older I get, Bob and Mike, the older I get is the more focused I become on how precious my time is and how specific the calling is in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. And so I can't be all out there and all outward and all good humanitarian, all philanthropy-like because Jesus called me to make disciples, and that means I can't be apologetic for that. But I also want to be missional. So non-Christians should be able to come into my missional community and know that we're about Jesus. We might recycle once a month. We might do a good block party, but we're unapologetically about Jesus, and that's what we want those people to understand.
Yeah, I think if you're missing that piece of we're about Jesus, the interaction with the neighborhood or the whatever project that, you know, you're doing is futile. Like, it's a good thing to do, but if you're not making disciples, then it's off base, it's off mission.
Yeah, the other way I would put it is honestly, anyone can do those things. Yeah. The church is called to make disciples of Jesus.
Yeah.
Good. So I think we're saying, if we want to bring the conversation, let's bring it back even to the beginning, and let me clarify a few things about how we use the term missional community. So here's what we often encounter in Coramdale. People come into our church, they're like, oh yeah, you guys do missional communities. That's just like the small group I was in at the church down the street, or the Bible study I was in with BSF, or it's a small group, right? Mm-hmm. And my answer is always, well, yes and no. It's a small group in the sense that it's a smaller community of Christians. We do study the Bible. We do we do things that if you're familiar with a small group, you would come and go, yeah, that looks familiar. I think the big difference in a missional community or a gospel community type of ministry, when a church that's structured in that way, the goal of that community is to shape us in the gospel in the practical, actual realities of everyday life. Mm-hmm. So I, as a preacher, I can preach a sermon from the pulpit, but I can't work that down into, Mike, your life with your kids on Tuesday night after school, mm-hmm. right? And so missional community is more the context where we're looking for that life-on-life component of how does the gospel of Jesus actually change how you parent your kids, yep. how you interact with your neighbors, and that's what we're seeking to create in a missional community. Mm-hmm. How's that different from, in you guys' opinion or experience, from what we've traditionally come to know in evangelical Christianity, where it's primarily about just learning some stuff about the Bible or maybe just being in a living room with some people once a week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting because I used to lead a pretty large small group ministry at a large church. And the thing you're looking for there is someone who can pull off a discussion. And in missional community, discussion around the Bible is really only one component of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's only one component of discipleship. It's only one component of your missional community. And in my experience, you're looking for somebody with a pulse who has somewhat of a decent social skill who can pull off a conversation and not bore people. That's completely different than a missional community context now because you're looking for somebody who understands the gospel, mm-hmm. wants to call people to it, and wants to really be clear about what it isn't as well. And so you're doing the life on life thing, Bob, in light of the kid thing. You're hopefully creating an environment where you can talk about how, man, my wife and I feel like our kids are unruly. This couple in our missional community, they seem to be doing something we're not doing. We actually feel a little insecure around that couple. How can we have that conversation because we're in the same community? That's completely different than we're going through a 6-week study in Romans. You know,
so if our goal is spiritual formation, if our goal is discipleship, it seems like what that creates is there's an intentionality to missional community or to gospel community that's a different kind of intentionality than traditional evangelical small groups. So as I've experienced it, the intentionality of a traditional small group is one of two things. It's studying the Bible. So there's an intentionality about let's study Romans like your thing, Dusty, or let's mm-hmm. go through a 6-week study on whatever. Or there's an intentionality about accountability. So let's talk about where you're struggling with sin, you know, right. and where do you need accountability. Those are two types of intentionality that we've seen in evangelicalism. Yep. The intentionality that's within a missional community is a completely different layer and level because it's actually, let's be intentional about bringing all of life into alignment with how the gospel should be mm-hmm. displayed in our existence. So let's bring all of our existence under the kingdom of God and help each other do that.
Right.
And that involves accountability and involves the Bible, but also involves all kinds of really awkward, messy conversations like the one you mentioned, Dusty, about yep. like, oh, my kids are unruly and this. There are conversations I've had in missional communities that are the kinds of conversations I would have never gotten into in a different kind of small group just because the focus is very much an intentionality about becoming the kind of people who display the gospel clearly in a way that actually reflects what Jesus would have intended. Mm-hmm. And that seems to me to be a different sort of intentionality.
Right. So what's interesting about this for me is this is really timely with a situation in my missional community where I have, in a sense, I dropped the ball as a missional community leader with a family recently. And somebody recently challenged me and they said, well, you're in the same missional community as that person. Why don't you talk about it at your missional community this week? And I thought through that and thought, well, and I can logically and reason real quick on why that would be a bad idea. A, I'm exposed to a bunch of people who don't know the situation. B, I'm not sure how they're going to respond. It's a lot easier to have that phone call or maybe meet them for coffee or have a different conversation on the side. But I think that person's right. And I think the encouragement is right. And I think I need to do it. And the reason is, so what if there's some people in that room that don't understand the context of that conversation? The reality is we're throwing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the middle of the room. For me and this particular family, I need to apologize publicly mm-hmm. in front of this whole community because we are a family. So I can do that. And, I'm obviously hoping for a sense of grace towards me. I want them mm-hmm. to forgive me. I want them to offer grace towards me. And I think, especially for people who are recently Christians or even the people who have been Christians for a long time in evangelicalism and are now being exposed to the gospel in a fresh way, they need to see that happen in the context of missional community, which makes it, in my mind, a lot different than a small group and a lot different than a Bible study.
Are you going to go do that this week?
Yes.
NMC? You're going to make it happen?
Yes, Mike. And now that it's on this podcast, I'm going to have
to talk about it. We'll talk about it next week on the podcast.
Yeah.
An update.
It's funny, though, because that's actually a good example of how I tried to reason out of this. And I think in a different surfacey kind of small group, I could come up with good reasons to just keep it on the surface level. And content allows me to do that. Mm. And so I could just keep it at the surface level, keep things clean, keep it simple. But the reality is, this week, actually, I need to do some family business.
So it's okay you're not going to do the sermon content?
Well,
I'll
probably get to the content because the Bible's still good. We don't want to throw that out. But it's also okay to go into this conversation with uncharted territory. You know, this is new to me.
And the thing that most people don't know how to do is resolve conflict, or even not conflict, but just hurt feelings. Like, mm-hmm. People just want to avoid that. And so the fact of, like, actually forcing people to work through that is so helpful for people to go, oh, this is how the gospel changes how we can have these conversations. And mm-hmm. it's okay to talk about, I failed you in this way, or you hurt my feelings, or like, we can actually do that. Oh, okay. That's right. That's so crucial to basic discipleship and following of Jesus.
The other thing it does is it says, oh, me as the primary missional community leader doesn't have all this stuff together, right? Like, I've made a mistake. And it also says on the other side, that person, that party can't harbor bitterness towards me forever, right? And so this is now in the light, in the sense of now 18 adults know this whole story.
Yep. Hmm. I was reading from Steve Timmis today, and he'll be with us here in a few weeks on the podcast. We'll try to get his take on some things, but one of the things he said is we want to equip people not to be theologically smart so they can pass exams, but to be intentionally godly and radically godly in how they live their lives. We want to take the word and massage it deep into people's lives so it changes life. I think I was captured by the idea of people who are radically godly in how they live their lives, and the idea of taking the word and massaging it deep into people's lives. It's sort of a tense metaphor, but mm-hmm. but the idea of like working it down deep into mm-hmm. the fabric of life, things like, oh crap, I failed this person, now there's some awkwardness in our relationship. How does the gospel speak to that? Oh, I really would sort of like to avoid this. How does the gospel speak to that? So that's when that becomes the focus, the group becomes really different.
Right.
You no longer are working on the surface of life. You're working now in the sort of deep realities of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it'd be interesting just to talk about what are some of the, as we try to create those kinds of communities, and I think we're all sort of right there with Dusty in the sense of like, yep, we're learning and trying and failing. And it's not like any, I don't think you could find any missional community in Quorum Deo and say, oh, that's a beautiful picture of gospel. Like, it's kind of like, well, we're striving toward
there might be
a vision, an ideal of what gospel community should look like. Mm-hmm. As we do that, and as we gather people around us in that, what are the most common hurdles?
A couple things come to mind right away. One would be, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I've been in these kinds of groups before, and so I'm expecting this particular group to meet my needs when it comes to, like, perhaps I'm a big Bible person, and I expect this missional community is going to open the Bible at least, if not better than, all my previous experiences. The other thing that comes to mind is just the reality that I don't really want you to get into my life, and so I'm not necessarily even a Bible person, but this just seems really weird to me, and so I'm just going to stay on the surface. What that means then for the rest of the missional community is we're now kind of exposing ourselves. We're trying to throw the gospel in the middle, like I said before, and let that go to work on us. But if I have a handful of people, or at least one or two people in the missional community that are really closed off and they're not necessarily participating, that creates a weird dichotomy in the group.
Yeah, I would even say people tend to lean on the time frame of relationship. Oh, I don't know these people as much, and so I'm not going to open up, or I don't know that person as much, so I'm not even going to tell them what I think about the decisions they're making or the issue that we're having. So it's just easy to back up and just say, well, I don't know you. You don't know me. I'm not going to go there.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest hurdles I've experienced is passivity. People not having any sense of intentionality. So they show up. They're a warm body in the room. But there's not a sense of like, man, I want to be involved in the work of making disciples with these other people in the room. And there's not a sense of, I really want to give myself intentionally to creating an environment where we're active in the work of making disciples. Here's a different question. For the average person coming into a missional community, so let's think of a new Christian or someone who's new to the idea of a missional church and a missional community structure, what expectations do I want them to have coming in? Mike, if they're going to come to your missional community, what do you want them to know? What expectations do you want them to have so that they can come and appropriately be a part of that community in a helpful way?
Yeah, for our missional community, practically, it's a large group of people. So the first thing I tell them is, hey, that we have a lot of people in our house. And so, you know, I just say, hey, be aware of that. This is how we do discussion. We split up into two groups. So I'm just out front with every single detail of what the group looks like. I also want them to get on the food schedule. You know,
let's talk about that. Why
not day one? But
why is that practical help so important?
Yeah. So with our group size, the responsibility to bring a meal is huge. It's important for us to eat a meal. It'd be super easy to say, hey, we're not going to eat. You know, we're just going to do snacks and finger food or whatever. But there's something valuable about a meal, and so we hold that tightly and ask that if you're committed to the group, that you commit to bearing that responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my quick word on that. It's just I've seen traditionally, just in the past, missional communities that share a meal together actually tend to have a lot more of a familial feel to them. I'm not saying that your missional community will only be good if you have a meal, but honestly, it's really hard to do a meal. It's messy. Whatever your host home is gets destroyed with, for our situation, it's Taco Tuesday. Yep. And there's taco meat everywhere, and you know, you clean that up later. But yeah, I would just say another way to say it is you should expect to serve. Whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, or you're a new Christian, or you're an age-old Christian, you should expect to serve, whether that's jumping on the food schedule, doing dishes later that night, sweeping up the taco meat off the floor, you know, possibly in the basement with the kiddos, whatever. Expect to serve in some capacity because this is a big organism and it's moving and it needs helping hands.
Yep.
So let me ask another question. What should their expectations be for what the mission looks like? Because I think people read books about missional community and they have this romanticized notion of like, dude, we're going to have like all these pagans in the room and we're going to be talking about like why they hate Jesus and then I'll get a chance to share the gospel with them. And like there's really romanticized, idealized, weird views of what missional community is. And certainly for us, we want every one of our missional communities to have an active side door where non-Christians are always entering in, welcomed in, getting assimilated into that community, beginning to hear and understand the gospel. That's so crucial to how we understand the gospel and the mission to go forward. But what's a realistic expectation for what the mission actually looks like over the course of a few months or a year?
For us, it's the reality is most of the people that we're ministering to aren't in the living room in the middle on a Wednesday night for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. We have to go to them. And so for us, that looks like neighborhood association stuff. And so it kind of has the look of, hey, we're doing community gardens and we're cleaning up the park and helping out with these picnics. But really, that's the only way we can engage with them right now, and we're okay with that. And we just have to take advantage of every opportunity we have to interact with our neighbors, with the group of people that we're on mission to. That's our expectation.
So if I'm coming to your missional community, I should expect that means I'm joining you in some way in those things in your neighborhood, even if I don't live there.
Right.
That's what our mission is, and I'm jumping in with you.
Exactly. I just shared with the group last week. I said, hey, we've got these events coming up with the Neighborhood Association. Summer's coming. Things are starting to ramp up in, you know, outdoors, and so this is what we're going to do as a community. You don't have to. You know, we're not going to twist your arm to be there. But this is what we're doing as a core team. Please join us in doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like everything else in life, right? Whatever I put into this, I actually get out of it as well. So it's the same is true in missional community. It's the same is true in sports and school. And I need to put some skin in the game if I'm actually going to be known and know somebody.
I guess with people coming into my missional community, I want them to have the expectation that the mission includes making disciples of the people who are already here.
Yeah,
because I feel like people get excited about the mission being all out there.
Yep.
And I'm saying, no, we are not yet a people that display the gospel in the way that God wants us to. And so until we are that, I mean, I know that's a long until, right? We're going to be working on it until Jesus comes back. But I don't want someone in my missional community who what they're really excited about is the community garden.
Yeah.
And what they're not excited about is moving the gospel more deeply into my heart or the person across the room from them. I want both. I want them to say, I want to see non-Christians encounter a true gospel community where the gospel begins to become real to them. And I want to see this Christian guy across the room stop being so self-righteous. And I want to be involved in both.
Right.
Yeah. And what's funny about you saying that was last week after I kind of gave the spiel, let's be involved in the neighborhood thing. We spent the rest of the evening talking with a guy who typically is very reluctant to let community into his life. And he was letting us all in to, hey, should I take this job that I've been offered? And so we just spent the evening talking about that, talking about his struggles, his sin issues that might affect him working in that job field. And it was like a picture of both things. And that's not perfect. That's not every week. But like, it was just a snippet of, and this is how it is. Like, we're focused on the outside, the people that aren't in our group, but we're also focused on the well-being of the people that are actually in the living room.
Yep. To get back to something you said earlier, Dusty, I feel like I want every person who is a part of a missional community to just grasp that the calling Jesus has given us is the calling to make disciples. Mm-hmm. And so that's the core reality of our lives. That's why I'm on earth. And you said it this way. You said there's other people who can do things like, you know, community gardens and neighborhood stuff. That's true. We want to join with non-Christians in any way of blessing the city.
Right.
But our reason for doing that is as an opportunity to display the gospel and how the gospel motivates us to do that in a way that's different and hopefully gives us a chance to then communicate the gospel to them. And so if our fundamental motivation is making disciples, if I see that as why I'm on the earth, it just changes my intentionality for coming into a missional community. Mm-hmm. And really my whole reason for existing in the first place becomes my life is about that. And so I want to learn how to do that as effectively and as well as I can and with the people around me in community together.
Yeah. I would say there's nothing more beautiful than being a part of a missional community, and there's also nothing more challenging, right? And so I think one of the distinct differences in a missional community versus a lot of other things is I'm in this small group or I'm going to learn the Bible in this Bible study because that's what good Christians do. And so there just seems to be the unwritten rule that I should be doing that. And missional community really blows that ideal up because I'm doing this because I want to be a better disciple. And apparently, the way this community seems to be working is I'm also involved in helping people love Jesus more deeply, and become better disciples themselves. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing more beautiful than a healthy missional community. There's also nothing more challenging. Like, it's not necessarily easy. There's a lot of other things that are so much easier to do, you know, on your Tuesday night. But it's so worth it because of the call to discipleship.
Well, there's a lot more we could say about missional community and probably will say in future podcasts, but that wraps up this week, I think, Mike. And so just want to sort of bring it back to that really what we're talking about is particularly the structure of missional community today. And so there's a lot that we haven't said about, and probably lots of ways that even our conversation reflects a North American sort of dynamic. And certainly thankful for the people in other contexts who help us think more broadly about missional community. But hopefully this will be instructive to our own church and to people who are planting churches in similar contexts.
Well, we ask you to join the conversation through Twitter. You can check us out at Coram Deo Omaha. Tweet us conversation topics, tweet us your questions. We'd love to interact with you. We'll see you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.